everybody. Welcome to the Friday Filibuster. I'm Dave Johnson, joined by Mac McIntyre.
Hackadoo.
Daryl Loomis.
Hello.
And Eric Astroslager.
Hi there.
And we are here to, you know, the routine, kill a bunch of time. So let's get right to it. Mac, tell us what you've been up to.
Let's see. Well, I went and saw Ender's Game at the theater.
Oh, yes?
Hmm. I would call it good but not great.
Okay.
If you're familiar with the book, as most people are, kind of pretty much just, you know, goes down the checklist and, you know, hits all of the major scenes from the book. And that's pretty much it. It doesn't really stretch itself. It's not
quite as... Were you a fan of the book?
I read it years ago. As I was watching the movie, I was like, oh, I remember this part. I remember that part. So I can't really do that serious of an analysis. But overall, I'd say I enjoyed it. The space opera stuff with the ships and all that was really great. We don't spend as much time in the zero-gravity battle room as some fans might like, because that's really the main meat of the book. But what we do spend in there is pretty good. The weightlessness effects were really cool. And the young actors are really good. The kid from Hugo plays Ender, and he has that sort of quiet intensity thing going on, which is what the character's all about. So, and Harrison Ford is surprisingly good as well. He's kind of doing his grumpy old man shtick that he's developed over the last couple of years, but kind of making it work in this movie.
All right. And effects?
Yeah, effects are really good. Like I said, the weightlessness stuff was really impressive. And the big space battle at the end looked pretty good too. So, you know, CGI everywhere, of course, but I'd say for the most part, effects hold up pretty well.
Sounds like a solid C plus B minus, B maybe?
Yeah, somewhere around C plus B minus, yeah. All it's right. Kind of, it's nothing we haven't seen before, but for what it is, it was fine.
All right. Ringing endorsement. Excellent. Eric?
Not very much at all after Halloween. I haven't been watching much besides stuff for review. One thing I will mention, because I wonder if anyone else has seen this, but Netflix does these original shows now. And I finally got around to checking out Derek,
the Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
Heard very mixed things about that.
It's pretty terrible. Oh, and I'm really trying to get my head around what it's trying to do, because it's really, really schmaltzy and sappy. It's not edgy at all, as far as I can tell. And I don't know if that's the edginess, is that it's trying to be kind of uplifting and heartwarming. I don't know. It's weird. Ricky Gervais plays a guy who works at an elderly care home, and he seems like he's kind of autistic. I think he got some flack when it first came out for kind of maybe people thought he was poking fun at that group, but. He plays it very, sincerely and straightly, and it's very, the music, if you listen, just watch it and listen to the music, it is so kind of, emotional and manipulative and in your face, and I don't know if that's part of I don't know what to think about the show. I just know I don't really want to watch any more of it.
Wow.
I was just curious if anyone else had seen it, so.
The reviews scared me off.
I have not seen it, which is interesting to juxtapose with Stephen Merchant's solo project in HBO we've been watching called Hello Ladies.
Yeah, I've heard really good things about
it. Yeah, we've been enjoying that. It's definitely, when you maybe separate the two, it's kind of interesting to see where, the different tones, when they're joint projects, you can kind of disentangle where their tones are. And you can definitely see some office type of timing and humor and Stephen Merchant stuff, but it's more of a straight comedy. There's a little bit of heart in it, because he's like this bumbling Englishman trying to find love. So there's a bit of heart there, and he just fails miserably over and over again. So, but that's been a funny show. So it's interesting to compare the two exploits, I guess.
It is, and I can't imagine that, in the Stephen Merchant, Ricky Gervais canon, that it's all been Stephen Merchant this whole time, and really Ricky Gervais is this sweet, sincere guy, because, I've seen his stand-up, I've followed him, generally enough to know that this seems kind of very out of step for him.
Yeah.
Carl Pilkington is also on the show.
Oh, he is, okay.
He plays like a handyman. And again, not doing the Carl Pilkington shtick really either. It's kind of him playing an actual role. So it's, I don't know. I'm not entirely sure I haven't hallucinated the whole thing. if you've never heard of it or seen it, Dave, then maybe it doesn't exist.
I've heard of it. Yeah, no, I think it's okay. I think you can come back to Earth. I think you're right. But yeah, I haven't heard swimmingly great things either. Daryl. No,
my dad. Not much for me either. The one thing that I have been doing outside of watching stuff for the site is, based on your recommendation, Dave, and the fact that it was on sale, started playing Far Cry 3.
Oh, yeah, and?
It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
You're still playing that. It's, oh, yeah.
I'm not as far into it as I thought I would be at this point. I got it, I guess, a couple of weeks ago, but you know how it goes. But I did stab a crocodile through the top of the head, and that was pretty rad.
I love how the game really just like makes you into this predator. I mean, there's not like skulking through the foliage with a bow and arrow and just taking out dudes is so fun in that game.
Although I get eaten up by so many kimono dragons.
They are crazy, yes.
But that's one of the good things about it, is that the foliage and all that is done so nicely, unlike, you know, something like Skyrim, which is a game that I genuinely love. Nothing comes out of the, you know, nothing just pops out of the forest at you.
See, that game is so great because of these random encounters. Like, I was casing an enemy hideout, you know, tagging all my enemies, getting ready to make my move, and a random kimono dragon walks into the camp, kills everybody, and, you know, and I get the camp. You know, I did nothing. Literally, a random kimono dragon just wiped everyone out.
So yeah, it's a lot of fun, and like I said, I've got a lot to go in it. So, I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes.
Like, it might be one of the best open world games I've played. Just as far as I don't know, it's just I get bored pretty easily. Like Skyrim had me hooked forever, but I ran out of gas with that game. You know, I didn't end up finishing the story. But Far Cry 3 just has got something going. Like the mechanics are fun, and it's just a cool concept of like a frat boy dropped in the middle of this pirate infested island, right? It's like good luck, and you just gotta slowly evolve into this badass.
And as opposed to something like Grand Theft Auto, which I've always, you know, those games can be fun, but I've always found them really repetitive.
Yeah.
This hasn't at least so far felt really repetitive to me at all, except for the repetitiveness of getting bitten by kimono dragons.
That's right. Yes. Yeah, I'm glad you got it. It's really rocketed up my list. It's got, you know, favorite games of the generation, I think. Mm-hmm. It's just scratching a great itch. So my backlog is suffering. I got an Xbox One on order in 2 weeks. I don't know. Oh, my problems. So many.
Is that only is that coming out in only 2 weeks now?
The 22nd, right? Wow. Yeah. So it's coming out. So okay. I guess it's me, and I don't know. I guess I'm going to call Far Cry 3 it. I think I'm still playing lots of Far Cry 3, and I don't think I could top that Komodo Dragon story. So let's move on. The stuff we got coming out for the site, Mac.
Let's see. What am I working on that you might be interested in? This is something kind of cool. It's a documentary. It's about the original Orson Welles War of the Worlds broadcast.
Yes.
And how it convinced people all over the country that it was actually happening, and that Martians really were invading.
Is it the PBS one?
Yes.
Okay. I watched I saw that on PBS last week or whatever.
Oh, yeah. And, because this is the anniversary this year.
Right.
It was pretty good. It was a lot of interesting facts, lots of stuff about Orson Welles and how he was like this consummate showman, and he knew how to just, you know, manipulate the situation to his advantage. There's some hokey bits where they hire actors to
letters.
Yeah, that part was pretty hokey, but for the most part, I enjoyed all the other stuff, like the archival stuff, and all the stuff about Welles was really interesting, so... I'd say for the most part it was pretty good.
All right. Eric?
Let's see. This week, reviews up on the site now, I reviewed a minor entry in the Winnie the Pooh franchise called Very Merry Pooh Year. Winnie the Pooh, of course. P-O-O-H. Yes, to point out. Because apparently it was a direct-to-DVD movie in 2002 that was half a TV special from 1991. So kind of a weird mashup of Christmas and New Year Winnie the Pooh stories. Not, you know, pretty standard kids' fare stuff. My daughter definitely enjoyed it. I will say it's odd that when that Disney seems set on basically putting everything out as a like two disc digital copy extras laden like full price release. So this is like a list price like $30 or something for like a 64-minute movie with hardly any extras, and I don't know why you'd need it on Blu-ray, DVD, and a digital copy. So kind of a hard sell, but I don't know. Okay.
So for the New Year's thing, does Pooh go out to the bar and get hammered on Jägermeister and then wind up making out with Rue?
You've seen it?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's the one. Yeah.
It's great stuff.
No, it's not your fanfic, Daryl. Or Derek or whatever your name is.
Whatever my name is. I go by Derek on the fanfic site, so.
Yes, I know you do.
All right, Derek, go ahead.
So this week I've got season 6 of Mad Men on Blu-ray, which I really like. There were some people who had some trouble with the or who didn't really like season 6, and I think it's a lot of it's because in this season more than any other, you can give Don Draper the nickname of Captain Bringdown. He's just sorry, and there's so much bad that goes on in the season that.
And, are you about done with him? I don't know, man. I'm about done with him.
Well, I think that's the point.
You're right. No, you're right.
And I think that's where a lot of people's problem is. But I think, you know, ultimately, like over the first, especially like the first four seasons, it was fun to watch Don Draper be a philanderer and live this weird life that nobody in their right mind would ever actually want to live. But vicariously, it's kind of cool. You can drink whenever you want, you know, go out with, you know, all these beautiful women and whatever. And then season 5, he gets with Megan and he seems like he's changed. And then season 6, he clearly hasn't changed. And I think that sort of break in between where you thought you might have seen a change to Don Draper and now he's not only back to his old tricks, but he's pathetic at it. I think that was frustrating for people, but I think that's the logical progression of the story going into the, you know, the last 13 episodes over two stupid years. Just terrible idea, but it worked for Breaking Bad, I guess. But so I think, you know, ultimately we're watching this guy fall to his doom, and that's not so much fun.
Yeah, I think that's a good perspective on it for sure.
But it's still it's
frustrating. It is frustrating.
It's frustrating, and I think it's meant to be frustrating. But all in all, like, I mean, it's such a beautifully designed and well written show, you know, everything about it's impeccable. It's just that story is coming to a close, and it kind of hurts. The DVDs are or the Blu-rays are really disappointing, though. Three measly featurettes, fairly short, mediocre. For all the popularity that show has. They didn't do anything with it.
All right. So I got a couple of big – actually, I'm going to give you two mainstream feature films that released in the summer. One is White House Down. Both of these are on the site already, but White House Down, the other White House action movie, and The Internship, which I did request on purpose because I thought I'm going to give this movie a chance to surprise me. You know, like I went in with some very – you know, some preconceived notions of what this was going to be, but I want to give it a chance to surprise me. But it was so bad. It was so terrible. I mean, I don't know, like, honestly, I'm not even sure why Google would sign up for this kind of exposure because it made them look like just turds. I mean, Google in this film is like this Disneyland for douchebags. I mean, who plays Quidditch for real? You know, there's a whole middle section where they play Quidditch. I mean, terrible. But then
the guys that actually run around with the brooms between their legs, but it's like soccer.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And there's zero irony in it, too. It's just like they're actually playing Quidditch because they're awesome. But the whole premise is, like, a bunch of these intern teams are vying to get full-time jobs in Google. So it's a summer-long program, and only one team will win full-time jobs at Google. So there's high stakes here. But in typical crap Hollywood comedy fashion. And then my favorite part, like, doesn't make any sense, but so obviously the team with Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson on it, they kind of they kind of come at the last – spoilers here, but who, screw it, right? They come in at the very end with, like, the final challenge. They come in just in the nick of time with a fun, crazy celebration thing, and they win. And what happens? All the other interns stand up and cheer. They are applauding and cheering, and it's like, yeah, you guys are out of jobs, by the way, because of these morons. So, I mean, that's just exactly that. Makes no sense. It's not funny. I really thought it was one of the worst movies I've seen in a long time. And I wanted to have it. I said, you know, make me laugh. I'll give you a shot. But it was terrible. And the product placement here makes 24 look like Shakespeare in the Park. You know, there's just the Google bootlicking is really nauseating. So, yeah, brutal. And then White House Down wasn't terrible. It was like kind of a lighter, more fun version of Olympus Has Fallen. It was more hard R up its own butt. White House Down is a little goofier. Neither movie made much sense. But I don't know. I think you'd be well served for mindless entertainment with that. So those are my two mainstream movie reviews, and those are probably the last for a while. So. Although, and I won't. I guess I might tell Mac. I do have Man of Steel in my possession right now. So I did arrange a meetup with Mike Staley to do the handoff because I was chopping at the bit. So, be prepared, Mac. Next week it drops. It's coming. All right. So speaking of what's coming up, go ahead, Mac. Take us away. What's the next?
Sure. We're gonna take a look at what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray. Gonna go to DVDverdict.com. Click on the upcoming DVD releases tab. I'm going to scroll down and find the link for the cover art gallery for November 12th. And just see whatever's on the list here.
We got a complete series of Family Ties. Looks like a pretty pretty slick set, too.
Is it in a special box?
It is in a special box. It looks like it's some Argyle patterning on it. That's going to be awesome. The capture of Grizzly Adams, and by the cover, I assume he gets captured by a bear.
He and the bear are smiling at each other, though.
That's well, that's how the bear gets you.
We've got the final season of Dexter. I think what's that? Season 8.
Yep.
A lot of folks online said they were disappointed with the ending, but I haven't seen it yet, so we'll see.
As noted, I am two seasons back.
If you wait until January, you can watch them both back-to-back on Netflix.
That's right.
That's right.
So here's something I reviewed, the four action-packed movie marathon. They're all pretty bad, but that I will say that Bulletproof one with Gary Busey is actually some decent 80s lunacy. I mean, it really makes zero sense, but there's some fun to be had with that. The rest of them are pretty boring.
I got the fourth season of Mad TV, which is a show I never understood why people liked.
That ran for a while, didn't it?
I sure did.
For like 10 years, yeah.
Boy, was it repetitive.
It was rough, yeah.
Well, it was either that or more cops.
Fox, that's right. What do you got?
The Devil You Know, or...
Well, not a ton this week, so I guess we'll just... I don't know, can we come up with it? I'm sure we can. Any early season on a D-release of the week? Mac, you got something?
All right, I'll take the big one. Last Tango in Halifax.
That's good.
Yeah, and the cover is the cover just puts terrible thoughts in my head. Really?
Yeah. Eric, you got anything?
No, I'll go with the naughty list.
That's good. Daryl.
All right, well then, I'm going to go ahead and all right, it might be a stretch, but I'm going with the world's greatest super friends.
Okay. And since I literally have nothing, I'll go with the Gene Autry collection. No reason. Because I got nothing.
You know what I mean.
If you had, wink, wink.
Home movies, perhaps.
Okay. Boy, we're making excellent time. So this will be a nice, this will be a tidy little Friday filibuster for you and your Veterans Day weekend. So, so let's get right to the ambush topics. You know how this works. We'll throw some random topics at each other. I will go first. Earlier this week, I tweaked my back, and it's been a sucky few days. So, back trauma.
I'll go with that. I don't know. It's probably the one you're going to pick, David. I'll go with The Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, good. Yeah. That
oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And a little bit
mildly spraining.
Yes. Now, in Nightfall, he got it. I mean, as someone who revisited Nightfall recently, yes. he got it mm-hmm. little more brutally there, too.
Yes, I think so.
All right, so I was watching Torchwood recently, the spinoff of Doctor Who, and Jack Barrowman, or John, whatever his name is, Captain Jack, John Barrowman, he dies just because of the way the show is. He dies, like, I don't know, in 25 times during the course of the series, and one of those times he is thrown off a building and lands on his back, like, over a concrete slab, and it basically snaps him straight in half.
Oh, nice. All right.
Let's see. There's a really great episode of The Simpsons where Bart got the foster father, who was, like, the perfect dad, and this guy was and Homer were fighting at the end, and the guy, he punched Homer really hard. Homer fell backward onto a fire hydrant, like, bent his back all the way back. You guys remember this one?
I do, yes. Yeah.
And with the quote of, "This is even more painful than it looks."
Yeah, so I will go with my favorite King Kong death. And that's in King Kong Lives, obviously the epic Linda Hamilton sequel to the original King Kong, where a bunch of, like, drunk hunters really piss King Kong off. Remember, they trapped him in a rock avalanche or something? And he eats one guy, and then he takes another guy and, like, snaps him in half. And I always was struck by that. It was pretty violent. Like, he just grabbed one knuckle each and then crack. But to be honest, the way my current back feels, like, I think that would feel good right now, to be honest. That would feel great. So, by the way, anyone ever seen King Kong Lives? Any of you guys ever seen it?
No. When I was a kid, when I was, like, on TV or something.
I would recommend it if you can track it down anywhere. It is kind of a favorite. I mean, Linda Hamilton inserts a pacemaker in a King Kong. There's a pacemaker open heart surgery scene in this, so it's worth checking out. So that'd be my vote. Okay, Mac, go ahead.
Okay, next topic. When the villain does something really cool.
All right, well, I'm going to go with Freddy Krueger in Nightmare on Elm Street 3 turning into a man-eating carpet and eating Patricia Arquette.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Okay. It's pretty badass the way Pinhead and the Cenobites tear the guy apart at the end of Hellraiser.
Okay.
So everyone take a shot. That's your weekly Pinhead or Hellraiser.
Yes, that's right. A lot of Hellraiser references.
You ready to get drunk? Because my topic is Hellraising. It's not real.
Okay. Trying to think of one of the Gruebers must have done something cool. Those are some cool cats, the Gruebers. So let's see. Who? I'm gonna say. I'll go with. Let's see. What's Hans Gruber's Isaac? Right? No, Simon. Right? Simon, played by what's his face? And
Jeremy Irons.
Yes. So. I don't know. I just thought it was he did a lot of – I think he was kind of a cool customer throughout that whole movie. But I thought it was really cool, his actual plot that was in the deleted scene to Die Hard with a Vengeance. Do you ever see the deleted scene, the deleted ending?
No.
Ooh, yeah. I would check that out. It is available on, like, YouTube or something. The alternate ending to Die Hard with a Vengeance is worth watching. It's totally different, and it's dark and interesting. And I'm not even going to ruin it. I won't spoil it. So all listeners, go seek that out. But what he ends up doing with the gold is cool, and it's actually a good idea. And the comeuppance he receives from John McClane in that alternate ending is just as cool. So there you go. Friday Filibuster, brought to you by YouTube.
So we're back to me?
Yep.
I was going to go with Belloc from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes.
At the very beginning of the movie, he takes the idol away from Indy. And all the natives are surrounding them. And he takes off running. And then Belloc does the coolest, most, like, suave thing. He orders the natives to pursue Indy by just with this one little move of his hand and this little sound that he does, this little whoosh, whoosh sound. Right. And all the natives take off running with just that one little move that he does. And that's, like, really cool, just the way he does that. Although, if you think about it, did he, like, sit down with the natives beforehand and say, okay, now when I do the little, you know, whoosh whoosh noise, that's when you go running after him. Okay, everybody got that? Okay.
Nice. All right, Daryl.
All right, well, I had one, but then I was re-inspired by one of the movies, one of the releases from next week. So now I'm going to go with fun TV guest stars.
Hmm.
Or memorable. Or stupid. I don't care.
So guest stars on TV.
Yeah, some kind of guest on TV.
This is memorable, a show that we talked about many times, so raise your glasses, everyone. In Community, the third season when John Goodman was sort of the evil dean, he was very memorable in his relatively few appearances in that season. It seemed that they may have had more for him at one point than they ended up using, but all that stuff was good.
So this is going beyond like a simple cameo, then. Yeah, is that what you think?
Oh, no, if it's just a cameo, that's fine. I don't care.
Okay.
I'm pretty loose with this.
Because I was going to say Pinhead, but...
There's only the Tonight Show ones.
There you go.
Does Scott Baio as Chaz count?
Sure.
You know,
the star of the TV show,
yes,
playing a different character on the same TV show, does that count as a cameo?
Yes, that's right.
Did he get two paychecks?
I don't possibly.
Yeah, I think that's the question.
I think he did such a great job with the Bizarro Charles that he deserves to be mentioned. So, right.
So if a Bayo falls in the forest,
I would actually say that I'm surprised that we don't. I'm surprised Charles in Charge doesn't get more mentions on this podcast because there's some magic there. But yeah, Chaz.
I'm holding on to my best Willie Ames material for a very special occasion.
That's good stuff. The Gwendolyn Pierce jokes are ready to
roll. Absolutely. We have now exhausted my memories of film.
Yes. And done.
Did you guys know that the actor who played Dr. Smith on Lost in Space once showed up on an episode of Sanford and Son? It's true. He was an uppity, like, upper class antiques dealer who showed up at the junkyard and wanted to, had some priceless piece of junk he was looking for. And, of course, Red Fox had a number of good comebacks for him, taking him down some. So.
Sure he did.
Two guys you never thought you'd see together, Red Fox and Dr. Smith from Lost in Space.
All right. Okay, then, so mine, which was inspired by the Family Ties complete series, is Tom Hanks as who made two appearances, I believe, as Elise Keaton's drunk brother.
That was a very special episode.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, very special episode.
That, yes.
And it taught me the valuable lesson that vanilla extract has alcohol.
Yeah. That's your big takeaway. It's not that alcohol destroys families. It's not that you become a monster and you punch Alex. It's that, hey, I could drink that stuff and get loaded.
Pretty much.
Nice.
Pretty much.
Hey, didn't Matthew Perry play Carol Seavers' drunk or druggy boyfriend in Growing Pains? Wasn't that he had a sustained guest star role, and I think he may have battled with addiction. So.
Yeah, I know that. That was Leo DiCaprio was in Growing Pains in the final season, right?
That's right, he was.
Yeah. He was
but Matthew Perry definitely was in their first stretch. So.
Gotcha.
Brad Pitt too.
Well, everyone battled some sort of addiction.
That's true.
In the 80s, we took that kind of thing very seriously.
Now
it's just a throwaway joke.
It is.
I remember when there were disclaimers and warnings before episodes aired that they had any kind of like possibly sensitive material.
Mm-hmm.
And
now we have Breaking Bad.
Yeah, or break. Forget that. I mean, Two Broke Girls. I mean, when he's watch an episode of that, and yeah,
there you go.
Ugh, I can't believe I mentioned Two Broke Girls. In this. All right, Eric, just cleanse us of this, and you go.
All right. I don't know if this is the right word, but I can't think of a better way to describe it. So I'll use the word, so we have like the topic.
Okay.
No, I'll describe it. I mean, so the word is synchronicity. What I'm really trying to say is some instance where a movie that you watched recently. And then something happens in real life, seem to come together in a way that's kind of weird.
Oh boy! Like,
you know what I mean? Like something.
So, like the very specific experience that prompted you to. Come
much.
Okay. Oh boy.
Or alternately, Hellraiser references. Whichever.
Or perhaps they're one and the same. Okay.
I did just buy a puzzle box.
You did.
The guy said it was already mine.
Seems like they're
first to say hands down. Or you
yeah, go ahead.
I'll go.
Oh, nice.
This might not quite be what you're looking for, but I've always observed there's these two movies that are sort of connected. Whenever I see one through some fluke or another, not by choice, but just through a random fluke, I always see the other one like within a couple of days. And it's The Hunt for Red October and Joe versus the Volcano.
Okay.
If I watch one, then all of a sudden the other one's on TV. Or if, one is on TV as I'm flipping channels, I'll flip a few more channels and the other one's on. It's like, you know, these two movies, they're like linked somehow. So it's like anytime you're watching one, then just like within a day or two, then you're going to end up watching the other one.
Wow. So if you say Jack Ryan into the mirror three times.
Exactly.
Tom Hanks appears with his giant luggage and offers
you some
blackjack. That's a good one, Mac. Way to come through in the clutch.
So, well, for me, one of the movies I watched in the last week of October was I watched The Birds. Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds. And we recently got bird feeders that we set up outside the house. And it took a while for the birds to finally find it. And yesterday was the first day they started coming. And since then, I've seen more birds around the house than I ever have. And it gave me kind of weird Tippi Hedren flashbacks. Kind of, you know, on the one hand, you know, it's marvelous to view the wonders of nature. On the other hand, are they trying to kill me? Mm. So that's how it works.
Yeah, I remember thinking that when I first moved to Boston, I'd be walking around the city in the common and seeing how the flocks of birds, they would all just suddenly take off flying all at once. And it's like, man, this is just like the Hitchcock movie.
Hmm.
I hear he based it on Boston.
Oh, is it?
Right, this is the best I can do, and it's pretty terrible. But
that's fine. Whatever it is, it counts.
Okay. Okay. So
is it Chaz from Charles and Trash?
No, not quite. So I guess if I watch a Star Wars movie, whenever I finish watching a Star Wars movie, and I go to the supermarket, I like to pretend I'm using the Force to open up automatic doors.
That's good. All right. You ever when it snows, look up at the sky and pretend that you're going through hyperspace?
Ooh, nice. I will try that next.
Snow's coming down. That's good.
Good. Yeah, that's good. I like it.
So I got nothing, so I think I'm going to go with my fake puzzle box story.
All right, puzzle box.
Yeah, all right. Have you ever once bought a puzzle box?
No.
Never. Have you ever played Tetris?
I have played Tetris. Okay, that is close. That's like the reverse of a puzzle box.
It is.
Yeah. It counts. It is the equal parts pleasure and pain.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Oh, boy.
Love that damn movie.
You do love that movie, don't you?
I sure do.
Okay, well, on that shocking bombshell, I guess we're done with this edition of the Friday Filibuster. So, Daryl, Mac, Eric, thanks for joining us. FridayFilibusterDVDVerdict.com is the email address. And with that being said, Mac, take it away.
Aloha, Mr. Hand.